We go. Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna. Glad to have you here. I'm with Karen Krishnan, my favorite microbiomologist and co-founder of Microbiome Labs. Karen's so generous to our community. And today we're going to be talking about some of the new developments that Microbiome Labs has been really launching and disrupting the marketplace, disrupting in a good way our health so that we can accommodate our microbiome to support better skin. That's the focus of today's talk. I'm sure we'll talk about other things as well. But Karen, talk to us a little bit about what's been going on generally with Microbiome Labs and Novozyme and your access to more strains and all of that. Give us some updates, sir.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of work in trying to solve big problems. We've had a number of launches over the last few months of products, probiotic products in particular, that we feel are critically important. The idea behind a lot of our innovation is resolving big problems that are underlying factors for lots of different conditions, right? So these are like dysfunction drivers in people's health. And then the dysfunctions can show up in many different ways, right? It can be a SIBO, it can be a skin issue, but the underlying dysfunction is actually the same. It manifests differently in different people because of other, underlying factors. So our idea is that go after some of these big foundational issues, especially where the current accepted treatment for them is not really great. Where more often than not, the treatment itself can present more problems than some of the problems themselves that they're trying to resolve. So
sleep medications, for example.
Exactly, sleep medications, yeah. Stress mood issue medications. We've been working a lot on H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori is a big underlying driver of numerous conditions, including SIBO. There's some good publications showing that H. pylori is likely a major underlying cause for maybe 40-50% of people with SIBO.
Wow.
Because of course it compromises stomach acid and allows for more enteric bacteria from the mouth to make its way in a viable state through the gastric system and colonize in the small bowel, which is what tends to happen with SIBO. And Helicobacter pylori is present in at least 50% of the population. Right now, if you went to your doctor to try to treat it, your doctor would look at something called a triple therapy, which is two broad spectrum antibiotics and a proton pump inhibitor. So we're trying to work with doctors and think up of other ways of supporting the gastric system, to make it less hospitable for H. pylori without any of the potential side effects. So that's an exciting area. And one of my favorite areas of what we're going to talk about today is the gut skin axis, because, for a long time, it has really bothered me that people are on 3, 4, 5, 6 months of antibiotics for pimples, right? There's got to be a better way.
Put it like that. It really, yeah.
Yeah. When you think about it, right? It's mind-boggling that we would go to that extent for something, and I understand it, right? If you have acne, it's a devastating issue.
It really is.
It's a major quality of life issue, but it surprises me that, medicine and science can't do better than, let's destroy the microbiome and the gut and compromise the immune system for months on end, and which may have long-term permanent implications to try to help someone with their acne. So, knowing that there is something called the gut-skin axis, which we'll talk about today, we set out to show that we could modulate acne lesions and response on the skin by fixing the gut. And that's just what we did. We completed mid last year, the largest probiotic acne study ever done. That was our second study. So we were able to prove that there is a key mechanism between the gut and the skin that changes acne. And we're talking about non-cystic acne. So cystic acne is considered a disease by the FDA, and that's a different ball game. But what most people face on a day-to-day basis is just acne lesions, inflammatory lesions. So that's really where we're focused in our study and work.
And so is this a spore-based probiotic? Is it, how do they, do I take the capsules? It's called Serene Skin, by the way.
Yeah.
We do have a nice coupon if anyone is interested in trying it. It's called No Bloat 15, and I'll give you the information and a link. But do I take it once a day? Talk to me about how to use it.
Yeah, you do take it once a day. And let me give people a little bit of background on the connection between the gut and the skin, right? Because this is not just applicable for acne. That's one way in which inflammation in the gut translates itself to the skin. The skin, as many people have heard, is a kind of a reflection of what's going on the inside, right? If there's lots of inflammation, dysfunction on the inside, it's going to show up on your skin. If the dysfunction is largely immunological, it's going to show up on the skin as things like atopic dermatitis or eczema or psoriasis, right? If it's driven by other factors like toxigenic, poor nutritional absorption, it's going to show up as wrinkles, thinning of the skin, dryness of the skin. Thinning of the skin is an interesting thing. That's something that's talked about in Eastern cultures a lot. We don't talk about it as much here in the US, but it's a real factor. It really refers to kind of the health of how healthy the skin looks, right? The topography of the skin, which is an interesting thing as well. How smooth does the skin look versus having all of these creps and depths and lines and things like that. All of those things are a reflection on what's happening on the inside. And when we started focusing in on the inflammatory processes that occur in the gut and things that may be missing in the gut that then lead to inflammatory processes on the skin, we focused in on acne because of the propensity to use long-term antibiotics for it. So we said, that's the problem we want to solve first. But keep in mind that the same pathologies are very relevant in other inflammatory conditions on the skin as well. So it's a great way of supporting the skin in general. So what we found is that, in the gut, your healthy microbiome, assuming you have a healthy microbiome, makes short chain fatty acids, right? And there's propionate, acetate, and butyrate. Butyrate functions a lot in the gut itself. It does go outside of the gut. It goes to other areas like the liver and gallbladder, and it can impact those organs, but it does a whole host of things in the gut that are critically, critically important. Acetate and propionate leave the gut a lot more than butyrate does. Acetate in particular is super interesting because what we tend to find is acetate kind of floats around in the rest of the mucosa, like the skin mucosa, and acts as an antimicrobial to reduce the growth of problematic organisms in other parts of the body, like in the pores, for example, right? Or in the sebaceous gland in that area. So underneath the skin, you've got like the pores that, everyone's familiar with that fills up with blackheads and you can squish them and blackheads pop out, and then adjacent to that, you have the sebaceous gland, which produces sebum. Right? And that's the stuff that you're squishing out of the pores. So what the sebaceous gland is trying to do is trying to produce the sebum, this mucus-like substance, to try to protect the skin if things are trying to invade through the barrier, right? And so what tends to happen is that if you have a dysfunction in your gut, you start getting, inflammation underneath the skin. The inflammation underneath the skin causes the sebaceous gland to put out more sebum that clogs up the pores and things like that and allows for the formation of a lesion on the face, which is what we look at as pimples and acne. And so what we found is that a higher amount of acetate tends to reduce the inflammation that's happening on the sebaceous gland. So it reduces the amount of sebum that's being produced, thereby reducing the formation and the existence of inflammatory lesions on the skin, right? So basically, we're going after the root mechanism that drives the formation of acne. Now, the second part to that is LPS. We've talked about LPS quite extensively, lipopolysaccharide. This is an endotoxin that leaks in through the lining of the gut and circulates throughout the body, and it can embed itself in the brain or embed itself in the dorsal vagal complex. The dorsal vagal complex, it stops the bowels from moving. That's a significant aspect of SIBO as well. It can embed itself in joints and places like that where it drives inflammation. One of the things it can do is actually embed itself in the underneath, in the lower layers of the skin, where it drives an inflammatory response, which causes the sebaceous gland then to make more sebum and make more inflammatory cytokines, creating an inflammatory lesion. So leaky gut, and a low level of acetate production are two of the underlying issues that drive acne lesion formation. So we looked at our Megaspore, right? We did the first pilot study on Megaspore. We had, we wanted to see the impact on skin with Megaspore. And in that study, we had a subsection of individuals that had acne. They were graded by a dermatologist, you know, the number of lesions counted. And then we gave them the Megaspore for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, we saw around a 35 to 40% reduction in those acne lesions. Right. And we said, wow, okay, that is really quite significant. Now, most acne studies are 12-week studies when you consider the antibiotic and other you know, approaches. They're 12-week studies. And then there's a standard of the response rate and so on. So we said, okay, we want to go next to a 12-week study, but we want to adjust the product a little bit because we know exactly the mechanisms that are important for skin effects within through the gut. We adjusted the Megaspore formula, which is where serene skin comes from. So serene skin is a bit of a higher dose, and we went up on two of the strains because one of the strains produces high levels of carotenoids, which reduces oxidative stress on the skin. That's really important to help the skin recover from all that inflammation that's going on underneath. It also, we also increased the two strains that produce high levels of short-chain fatty acids like acetate. Right. So then that product is now serene skin. It's an adaptation of Megaspore. Then we did a 12-week study so that we could compare it more head to head with the data that's out there for other therapeutics. And what we saw is a 75 to 80% reduction of acne lesions in 12 weeks.
75 to 80.
Mm-hmm. With the side effect of improved digestion, feeling better, waking up and feeling more energy, better mood, all of these other amazing things where people just felt healthier. One of the, and then we were working with a partner that did a large kind of commercial market study. They had 350, 400 people that study, and they gave them the product for X number of days and took feedback. The most common feedback that we got from that was that people felt like their skin felt healthier. Right. And that's a really profound thing because the things that tend to change beyond just the acne lesions going down and the redness and, you know, that that kind of unhealthy, dried out look is moisture retention. And we saw that in the study, the topography of the skin. So the fine lines and wrinkles improved a little bit. We also saw that thickness that I talked about earlier. You know, so the skin overall just kind of looked and felt better. Beyond just reducing the lesions, right? Wow. So, wow. And it was great when you see all the gut benefits as well on top of that. So we were very, very excited about the results of the study. It was better than we thought it would be. And so, you know, that to us is a great, great option for a big problem, you know? And again, acne is just one of the endpoints. Many other, you know, inflammatory type of dysfunctions on the skin can be helped by supporting the gut in that same way.
Called serene skin, as in pleasant, calm, serenity, serene exactly. Skin. And Clarissa, who's with us today, hi Clarissa from my team, thank you for that. She has put the link in the chat. Usually you would have to get this through a practitioner, but Kieran's so generous to our community, he's allowing us to go directly to through to Microbiome Labs through this link. And there's a coupon code. You need to register as a patient through Patient Direct. It's all listed right there. It's very straightforward. And then you need to type in NoBloat15 to get the 15% off. So what do you think about dysbiosis causing psoriasis and rosacea? And what do you see as serene skin and Megaspore helping those conditions? And yes, and rosacea is associated with SIBO, so it makes sense if we're doing this from the gut. Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, rosacea, psoriasis, all of those inflammatory conditions are a mix of immunological dysfunctions. And then, you know, there's some autoimmune type component in there as well, right? So basically what those conditions are a symptom of dysbiosis. So, but what kind of dysbiosis? That's the important question. The dysbiosis that we're talking about here mostly is an issue with having very low diversity in the gut microbiome, and a taxa shift towards more gram-negative and opportunistic organisms. The reason that drives this kind of pathology is because those organisms drive lots of chronic low-grade inflammation, and then they also bring down the expression of T cells called regulatory T cells. Right, your skin has lots of regulatory T cells that float around on the under layers of your skin, right? And the reason for that is because your skin is coming in contact with all kinds of stuff throughout the day. If your immune system reacted to everything your skin came in contact with, you'd always have a rash and be a big mess, right? You'd always have inflammation in your skin. So tolerance is a very, very important component of the immunological system in the skin. Tolerance is upregulated by microbes in the gut. Having higher diversity in the microbiome, producing more things like secretory IgA, expressing more of these T regulatory cells are all a function of the microbiome. So when your microbiome is dysfunctional and you have a pro-inflammatory microbiome, not only are you driving more inflammation, which you see on the skin, but you're reducing tolerance because your T reg cells aren't getting activated. And so that means that not only are you inflamed, but everything, many of the things that you come in contact with, your immune system is going to react to it pretty feverishly and end up having rashes and lesions and all of those things, right? So they're all connected to the gut. They stem from the gut. And it's not, when I say connected, it almost sounds like, you know, it's like a cursory thing, like, oh, there's a connection here. No, it's driven by a dysfunctional gut. Right. It's that's the core.
It's a direct connect.
Yeah.
It's a direct connect. So do you foresee offering a probiotic for cystic acne in the future, or is that unrelated to the gut? It's related to the gut. And wouldn't this probably cover it, but just for the study you had to do the non-acneic?
Non-cystic. Yes. Because, and again, you know, the FDA rules are interesting, right? So per the FDA, you can't study a supplement for a disease. Right. If you do a clinical trial on a supplement for a disease, then the supplement automatically is thought of as a drug. And so then if you don't go through the whole drug claim thing, then it's an unauthorized drug. So for that reason, we couldn't include cystic acne people. These are non-cystic acne subjects. You know, the mechanisms are very similar. And at some point, hopefully we might be able to do a cystic acne study, but likely we'd have to do it overseas because of the rules here in the US with studying these things. But, you know, the mechanisms of action tend to be similar. They use antibiotics for cystic acne as a treatment anyway.
Right.
Similar to acne.
Right. So for Serene Skin, what do you think about any potential for die-off from Carol?
I would say that there is likely is some potential for die-off, you know, and I would say no more than Megaspore, maybe about 10% of people. So tapering is still probably a good idea for the vast majority of people, just in case. But in the studies, we didn't do any tapering, and we never do tapering in studies, right? So we get very, very few reports of adverse effects on the GI side of it, right? So I'm trying to think on the Serene Skin study, I mean, maybe we had one or two reports of some GI sensitivity, bloating, you know, loose stool for a few days. So it's a small percentage, but, you know, like before, it's hard to predict who that is. So we just tell everyone to taper up, right? And then many of the questions we tend to get is, you know, what do I take Megaspore and Serene Skin? Which one do I take, right?
Oh, good question. Yeah.
And that's our clinicians ask us that all the time as well. So the way I look at it is Serene, if your primary issue that you're trying to deal with is skin related, that is, you know, the problem that you are looking at right now, then I would do the Serene Skin and I would do the Serene Skin for 12 weeks. And then at the end of 12 weeks, you can go to Megaspore as kind of the maintenance. For it, you know, you don't have to do them both at the same time. If you do, there's no issue. It's just that, you know, there's a cost to it, right? So,
right.
Just to be sensitive to people's, you know, money and cost.
Sure.
I would do the Serene Skin if you were going to pick one of the two for 12 weeks. If your target is skin, and then after that, you can do Megaspore as a maintenance.
Cool. And start slowly, right? Titrate up. if you haven't been, you know, on Megaspore previously. So can you just give some tips for how to start? Because I think, and I talk about this often with Megaspore, a lot of, and with other things like biocide, and like how one drop can change people so drastically, and how one capsule, you think, what's one capsule? And then people have a really strong, some people, not all, have a really strong reaction. So could you just talk about how to titrate up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we, if you're somebody that, that already identifies as being very sensitive to things, right? Yeah. You can go as little as a quarter of a capsule every other day. It's very rare that we have patients that we do that with, but there are patients that do that because they have to go very slowly with almost anything that they do. So you pull apart the capsule, you take about a quarter of the powder, mix it in any kind of food or drink, and you consume it that way. You can save the rest of the powder in like a little bowl or something like that. You don't have to discard it, right? But the typical person, the tapering protocol is you can do one capsule or half a capsule every other day for the first week. And then you go to one capsule or half a capsule every day instead of every other day, right? And then you go to two capsules a day. So you keep kind of doubling the dose until you get to the two capsule every day dose. You always take it with food, and any time of day works as well. Now, if anytime you bump it up, let's say you're going from one capsule a day to two capsules a day, if you bump it up and that's a little too much, to, you know, you're getting loose stool, some cramping, some discomfort, if it's not tolerable, then just go back to one capsule a day and do that for another week, right? Just slow it down and go a little bit longer on that tolerable dose, and then bump it up. But you know, 90% of people, you could start with a full two capsules a day and you'll be fine. So, but as I mentioned before, it's hard for us to tell who that is. So I can't tell you, like, if you are this kind of person, you should taper, or if you're that kind of person, you don't have to. It's hard to predict. So we just kind of taper everybody. But 90% of you will do just fine right off the bat, and can probably scale to the two caps per day by the end of the first week.
Okay, cool. And then Lena, the microbiome mitigates the effects of mold. Okay. Could your product be helping fend off ingested or colonizing mold mycotoxin, which negatively affects the skin? Negatively affects everything, especially if you don't have good detox pathways. What do you think about that? Have you done any studies about the relationship of these mold mycotoxins?
Not on Megaspore, we haven't. I would say what we tend to use clinically, if people have a lot of mycotoxin issues, is the IgG, the Mega IgG. That product is super functional when it comes to dealing with mold and mycotoxins in the body. So if you do suspect that you have mold and mycotoxins, and that's part of what's driving your skin pathology, then you add the IgG to the Serene Skin protocol.
Okay.
If you feel you actually have active candida issues, for example, then you would add in the Mega Myco Balance. The Mega Myco Balance is one of our fave products, and it was out for like 8 months, which was a giant pain in the butt trying to get it back in, but it's finally in, and it came in May. So Mega Myco Balance is extremely powerful and unique in dealing with established, you know, fungal issues.
Is your phone ringing, my friend?
My phone? Oh, yeah. Can you hear it?
Yeah. We even had someone on the YouTube channel go, oh my gosh, he fixes the phone. So, I mean, when we did a recording a long time ago, but yes, it's very sensitive. Okay. I'm going to send out an info about the reminding everyone that the Mega Myco Balance is back. So let's talk about, Lena's asking also, someone else was asking about for teens. How does the dosage change at all for teens?
Same for everyone. Teens need it. Yeah, just the same way as adults would.
Okay.
Our study was 18 and over because that's just easier. It's very hard to get, you know, there's a lot of process in going through informed consent for studies for people below 18.
Sure.
So that's why we do 18 and over. But yeah, the mechanisms are the same. I think if you are, you know, prepubescent and, you know, or just past puberty, that's a lot of times when people's hormones go crazy and they start to develop issues. Women can develop acne later on in life because of hormone changes as well, perimenopause, postmenopausal, and then also things like rapid weight loss and things like that can drive you know, some of these dysfunctions. Oh, and here's the exciting thing about it too. I forgot, almost forgot to mention this. We also looked at acne lesions on the body, because on your body, the acne is slightly different, you know, in terms of its appearance and patterns and so on. We also saw a very significant reduction of truncal and other lesions as well. So if you're somebody that deals with
chest, acne, back.
Yeah, chest, back, and so on, or even, you know, arms and stuff some people get, it it works for that as well, which is really exciting.
That is exciting. I mean, think about it. Your skin's your largest organ. Of course, it's a reflection of what's going on in the microbiome. And so, Ursula, yes, you should try. I mean, they didn't do the study for rosacea and eczema, but based on what Kieran's been saying, it would make logical sense. And I've seen people have really good reports of that it could help that. I get periodic rashes on my lower legs. Doctor says it's eczema, and I also relate it to dehydration. That start with little bumps and they get red and broken out. I've been taking Megaspore for several months. Would this new product be helpful? Like, should they bump it up?
Yeah, so this product is designed to be more powerful in terms of the dose, and then also the two strains that are critically important for things that relate to the skin. Right. So I would say you should bump up to the serene skin, but then also do a couple of things, like try to come off dairy for a little bit. Dairy seems to have massive impact for lots of people on the skin. That's, you know, when you look at integrative dermatologists, that's the first thing they tell you. In fact, most dermatologists, not even integrative, tell you come off dairy as one of the first things that they want you to do to improve inflammation in the skin, right? So if you do consume any dairy, come off of it, try to go gluten-free if you can for a little bit, right? So that you don't drive more inflammation, leaky gut, and then put the serene skin in, and I think you'll see some differences.
Ramona's saying on the serene skin label, yeah, by the way, can you guys pop into the Q&A box instead of the chat? It's too hard for me to do both because we have so much volume. But on the serene skin label, it reads that dose serving is one capsule a day versus the graduated Megaspore dose of two capsules a day. So should the serene skin dose be two capsules a day? What do you think?
No, I think, I believe the product we launched, we formulated and got it, put it all, shoved it all in one cap. If I'm not mistaken. So, but I'm 99% sure we put it all in one cap, just so that, because we used higher concentration versions of the strains, so we could get a higher CFU count into a single capsule. But again, you can still taper with that one capsule, right? So you can open it up, you can still use half the powder, you can use a quarter of the powder, you can still do kind of similar tapering. But I think it's a 30 cap product. You're right. And I think it's the full dose of a day is one cap a day.
Okay.
But listen, it's 6 billion CFUs compared to Megaspore's 4 billion CFUs.
Okay. All right. You did cram a lot in there. You know, this 15% discount, this is really very special to get. Kieran does not hand these out. I pray to God he keeps helping us out, but it's not all the time. I know he will, but it's not all the time. And often he has blessed us with, if it's your first time ordering, you get it. But this is for everybody, even if you've ordered before. So I just, please don't hesitate to go onto megaspore.com, microbiomelabs.com, excuse me, and look at the microbiome lab testing, the stool testing, look at the new vaginal microbiome testing. I got my box. I sent in my swab. I can't wait. I mean, like, hey, TMI, but let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have got to find out what is driving these things and the imbalances. And I'm really looking forward to getting that result. But this is all like very cutting edge science. And so if you've been wondering about which stool tests, I definitely think that it's worth checking it out, especially when you can get the discount. I think I saved like $66. So I can't remember. No, somebody else saved $66 on a different order. So anyway, it was great. So back to a question from Lena. What about for infants and children with eczema? What dosing for them and how young an age can we use it?
You know, like with Megaspore, we use the spores on children. We use them early on, even before 6 months. But normally what we do is just take a pinch of the powder and put it by their mouth. I would say after 6 months, once they're moving into solid foods, that's really a great time to start using it. But again, I'll just do a pinch, you know, the equivalent of a quarter or an eighth of the capsule, mix it into any of the food that they're eating at that point, whether it's the rice cereal or whatever it is that they may be consuming at that stage. That's a good slow way to introduce it into them. After the age of one, you can start giving them, if it's Megaspore, you know, one full capsule. If it's Serene Skin, maybe around a half a cap per day. The other thing to be conscious of, and I would say for young kids, it's probably better to lean towards Megaspore than Serene Skin. And the reason for that is the other thing that we added to Serene Skin was vitamin K2-7. So there's about 300 micrograms of vitamin K2-7 in the Serene Skin daily dose. Now, the reason we did that is because we've got a bunch of evidence. We haven't published this. This is internal evidence from little case studies that we've been doing that vitamin K2-7 reduces some of that darkening of the skin, the hyperpigmentation that occurs when you have scars and lesions and all that, right? What we wanted to try to help was, if you have acne lesions and then the lesions go away and they leave dark spots all over the place, that can be equally frustrating for people, right?
Right.
And people deal with that on their bodies and on their face and so on. So we've done a number of case studies on the hyperpigmentation side. So we added K2 in there because K2 has some benefits with the skin to begin with. And then the hyperpigmentation component of it could be a real benefit to people so that you reduce that risk of hyperpigmentation.
That's a really big deal. When you think about all of the beauty products that are being created to make your skin tone even, mm-hmm. if you could do something to prevent it in advance, that would be huge, huge, yeah. huge. You guys are going on a summer Zen break, aren't you, coming up?
We're doing, the week of the July 4th week. I think most of the 99% of the team, unfortunately, I have a number of things have to still do, which keeps coming up. But so I don't know how much of a Zen break I'll get, but I think we're asking most of the team to make sure to take that whole week off. And the part of the reason we came up with the idea of everyone being off at the same time, that's not their vacation time. They can still use their vacation time at other times.
Nice.
Was that because, you know, as you know, you pay for it when you take off, right? Because everyone else is working. So you're getting inundated with emails still, right? And then you come back from vacation and you're just drowning in emails. Right. And so we were like, to really get, you know, true Zen, if everyone's off, then nobody's sending each other emails. And then you shouldn't come back to a horrific inbox at the end of it. You should really be able to relax knowing that nothing much is happening, you know, and you're not missing out on anything. You don't have to check your phone or your messages on vacation, and just truly be Zen, right? Take it off and
that's
escape.
So cool.
So yeah, it's super exciting. And we did it last year for the first time. Our team really appreciated it. It allowed them to push hard through the end of the second quarter, which is end of June, knowing that they had this really nice true break, you know, coming up the week after June.
It's so kind of brilliant.
That's
very brilliant. Now, can people place orders during the week of July 4th?
They can. Unfortunately, they won't be processed that week, likely.
Okay. But you can still get
they'll be processed the following week, but we encourage everyone to get their orders in before that because we don't want any delays and things shipping out.
Well, I think that the coupon expires on the 6th, but I'm going to see if we can ask your team to like keep it going until like the 10th when you're back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but I'll ask for extension. Somebody's just asking this. And yes, we will be sending the replay out if you're on our email list, because I know we're streaming live to the Facebook group too at the same time. That's why it's important to get on our email list. We do a lot of different things on that email list. Ask for an extension to July 10th. Okay, thank you for that. How can you set up an account with Microbiome Labs if you're a patient? You just follow the prompts. Clarissa can put it back in the chat for you. It's just about four chat comments up there. You keep reaching only the practitioner's question. I'm not sure, Sherman, what you mean by that. Hit that link, and if it's not working, then put it into the chat. Okay. Any research on perioral dermatitis and new skin supreme, which is serene skin is the name of it. Guessing its effect on the gut skin microbiome is are beneficial for PD. I don't know what perioral dermatitis is. Do you?
I would guess it's very similar to atopic or other forms of dermatitis. Dermatitis just means inflammation of the skin, right? And then perioral just refers to a location of the inflammation. So yeah, I mean, when you look at the research, the
circles your mouth, your mouth. Yeah.
When you look at the research, any kind of dermatitis is driven by the same pathology. They may have different stimulus. Like when you're looking at, encircling the mouth, it's likely the action of licking or eating. So the presence of food or drink irritates that part of the skin, right? Or people with atopic or contact dermatitis, for example. Some people get contact dermatitis in areas where they wear like a backpack all day long, or there's things that touch their skin all day long. And it's the contact that's the irritating stimulus. And that irritating stimulus is met with an inflammatory response from the immune system. But that only occurs when your skin is dysbiotic. So the studies are very clear. When you look at atopic contact dermatitis or any other form of dermatitis, the regions where you have the dermatitis tend to be areas where you have dysbiosis on the skin. So you have more, for example, Staph aureus on that part of the skin. And then the stimulus, whether it's food or chemicals, lotion, contact, those stimulus cause the activation of the immune system. And then the immune system comes and activates in that area. And because it sees more problematic bacteria like Staph aureus and all that, it turns on more inflammatory responses. Also, because in the gut, when you have low levels of the Treg system being expressed throughout the skin, then those types of unfavorable responses in the case of dermatitis don't get dampened, right? Over time, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to build tolerance to the things that you're exposed to on a regular basis. Your immune system may react to them early in life, but then over time, the immune system is supposed to learn and go, yeah, I don't need to react to that every time I see it, right? Or I don't need to react to rubbing every time that happens, that friction and that contact. So that learning is driven by the Treg system. That Treg system is controlled by the microbiome and the microbes in your system. So any kind of itis on the skin is going to be connected to the gut in one way or the other. And most of them have very similar pathologies. They just tend to have different stimulus that drives them.
My 18-year-old son, by his doctor, has him on a low dose of antibiotic. I'm wondering if that's for skin or not. Can he do this at a different time of day? So tell us the strategy about, do I take my probiotics with food? Do I take it with, if I'm taking an antibiotic, is it safe and wise to take the probiotic at the same time?
Yeah, so you want to always take your spore probiotics with food. It doesn't matter which meal of the day. So, you know, choose whatever is easiest for you to remember. If you're also taking antibiotics at the same time, whether it's for skin or other reasons, you don't have to space it out if it's inconvenient, right? So if it's convenient and easy enough to space it out, like, for example, you take your antibiotic in the morning and in the evening, you know, it's twice a day, and you have it set up somewhere in your house strategically where you see it and remember in the morning and evening, you can set up your probiotic somewhere where you remember to see it in the afternoon with food and you take it then. If that is all inconvenient and you like to have everything you take together at once because it's all in one place, you can do that as well, right? We always say, if it's convenient for you to space it out, space it out. If it's not convenient, we'd rather you not forget to take it than trying hard to avoid taking it with the antibiotic. We've done studies where you're taking the probiotic with the antibiotic and it still works fine. So it's not an issue.
Let me share my screen for a second, because we're getting a question about, is anything else added to serene skin? So I just wanted to show you, oopsie doodles, my account. So here is the Biome FX, that vaginal health kit, which is not the topic of today, but I'm very excited about this test.
Yeah.
But like I'm texting
it's a
Kieran.
One of a kind, yeah.
Right. I'm texting Kieran when it got launched. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then here is, if you wanted to do a stool test, the Biome FX kit registration. And it's very cool because you still get the discount on that. And here's the PyloGuard, which he was talking about earlier for H. pylori. Here's the IgG in either powder or capsule that he was talking about for
mycotoxins and mold.
Yeah. Mycotoxins and mold. Thank you. FODMAP, if you're a SIBO patient, you have IBS, you're trying to lower your FODMAP resistance or how, you know,
intolerance.
Symptoms, intolerance. That's awesome stuff. And then here's Serene Skin. Let me click on that and see what is what I wanted to see. There you go. Here's the ingredients. Come to mama. Poof. No. Come to mama. Ingrid, at a glance. Let's see what comes up.
Maybe click on that picture of the label.
Clicked on the picture of the label. It's just, it's still black. Ooh. Okay, well, let me see if, that's not working. But it's got vitamin K2. It has your spores at a higher dose. What else is in there, Kieran? It's not a lot. Not a lot of extra.
No, that's it. I mean, it's cellulose, which is a prebiotic carrier, a small amount of that, and then the capsule.
Okay, cool.
Here
you go.
It's four of the bacillus strains instead of five. We've increased the amounts of the key ones that we believe have skin impact. And then we have 300 micrograms of K2 in there.
Very cool. Okay. So I just wanted to share that with you all and take you there. Let's talk about, come to the Q&A box instead of the chat if you have questions. What's tinea versicular? I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
We'll look
that
up.
Copy. That. We go to Mr. Google, Ms. Google. Let's see what that is. Paste and search. Common fungal infection of the skin. If fungus interferes with the normal pigmentation of the skin. Discolored patches. You can try over-the-counter antifungal treatments is what it's saying.
Topical antifungals?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the Mega Microbalance will help. We've never studied it for that.
It looks like a lot of liver spots.
Yeah, it's an oral product. I think anytime you have a opportunistic organism infecting some part of the body, it's always good to upregulate and support the microbiome and thereby the immune system. Is it going to be a direct, impact on it right away within a short amount of time? I don't know. We haven't studied it for that, so it's hard for me to say. Another interesting thing to bring up is people who struggle with skin issues, especially acne and other inflammatory issues, know that during times of high stress, they tend to break out. Right? Mm-hmm. They tend to have outbreaks of whatever, whether it's a rash, lesion, or it's acne. And the reason for that is because when you're undergoing stress, your gut becomes leakier and you get more LPS and more inflammation. And so another thing to consider if you're trying to holistically approach healthy skin, obviously the Serene Skin is going to help from a lot of the foundational things we talked about, but the Zen Biome can be another addition to help reduce that stress response as well. Right. So that is a major driver of lots of skin issues for people. In fact, stress can drive aging of the skin as well. Right. So fine lines and wrinkles and all that can appear faster if you're somebody that has a higher stress amount. So something to consider as well, if you're looking at holistic health of the skin, is the Zen Biome, the COPE, in particular, the daytime stress one.
Okay. Yep. Good to know. Good to know. And also, do you need to cycle off the microbalance? Wait, I'm not saying it right. The Mega microbalance, which is the candida, the yeast, or the IgG 2000, so you don't become immune to it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. There you go.
No, there isn't that phenomenon with those.
And what about with Ursula? He said earlier, you can take Serene Skin for that 3 months and then go on to Megaspore.
Yeah.
Any neurological changes noticed with your product? Have you done studies on brain fog? I don't know if that's what
not on Serene Skin, no, but K2 is well known for neurological benefit. We've done, I think we have four or five published studies on neuropathy with K2. And that's numbness, tingling, you know, just inflammation in the nerves. We've got lots of published work on it, and we know that K2, and we use that same dose of 300 micrograms. So the 300 micrograms of K2 in the product will certainly be beneficial to the nerves. To the brain, your brain has the highest natural concentration of K2 in the body. So K2 is clearly very important to the brain, this specific transport to get K2 to the brain, in part because K2 works on the mitochondria, and especially neuroblastoma cells. So we've done some studies on at University of Texas with neuroblastoma cells, showing that when you add K2 to neuroblastoma cells, it increases the ATP production of those cells. So the neurological cells can produce more energy and function much more efficiently. Part of brain fog and slowness and memory recall issues and all that is neurodegeneration, right? And that's the neurological cells dying off or operating at a lower capacity. So K2 is a really important anti-aging compound, in particular because of its impact on the mitochondria and its ability to upregulate energy production and cell function down, you know, at the mitochondrial level. So that's a just, it's a fantastic add to the Serene Skin, because to us, that's also part of the feel good aspect that people get when they're on Serene Skin, because what we, and that's why the name Serene is important to us, right? What we really wanted is people to not only notice the lesions coming off and all that, we wanted kind of a new beginning for them, you know, like we want them to like break through the things that were holding them back. Because when you have skin issues, we understand this very clearly, that you're held back, right? You are very self-conscious, very insecure about them, because the part of you that faces the world is imperfect for you, right? And that creates a lot of angst in people. It creates a lot of blocks and walls, insecurities and all of that. So we were really big on this idea that what can we do not only to improve those conditions, but then really make people feel good. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you want to feel energized, you feel healthier, your gut works better, all of these things. And that's the amazing thing about it is those are the reports that we got on that large scale consumer study on this particular formulation. So it was super exciting to see that. And, you know, the K2 plays a big role in that too.
So someone's asking, I'm not sure if you could comment on this. Oftentimes I hear doctors talk about how studies are funded by companies cannot be trusted. It really depends. Now, I want to just say that last month, is there a third party or check and balance, blah, blah. So last month we did a session with Kieran about the 13 studies and counting that have been done, and he addressed that. And I want to also say that when we send you out these replays, when you go to Kieran's replay, we have all of the sessions I've ever done with Kieran there. It's like a whole Kieran library. It's super cool. And they're all free. And so he addressed that specifically last time. We have 8 minutes left. So do you want to just give a one liner on it? Because I'd rather get back to content, because that's not a concern. So thank you. But
yeah, no problem.
Not a question. We love that. We love it, addressing things.
Yeah, it's not the funding that creates an issue. It's who conducts the study, right? If it's an internal study, for example, if we just did it ourselves among our employees and all that, the data, we could make up any kind of data we want if you're that kind of company, right? So it's not the funding that creates an issue. When we fund a study like this, we fund it, we provide a grant to a third party. In this case, it was a dermatology group that ran the study for us. You know, they have lots of consequences if they do it in a shady way, right? If they fudge data in some way, or they don't record things properly and so on, they can lose their medical licenses. They lose their research licenses. It's not worth it to them to do that, right? And then it has to go through peer review, and the data has to be scrubbed, the raw data. And the beauty of a dermatology study is there's pictures of all of this, right? They take before, during, and after pictures of all the subjects. That's part of what's reported in the study. Very high resolution, clear pictures from these $50,000 cameras that take all kinds of details of your skin. So Absolutely. If we said, oh, we did the study internally among our employees, then all right, you know, maybe there's some question there. But just because you fund the study doesn't mean the study is not trusted, right? It's who does the study. Every study in the world is funded by somebody, right? Yeah. So if we're questioning funding, it's not like there's a magical free pot of money somewhere that, you know, that nobody has an interest in, that, you know, studies are now done from, right? So everyone funds studies, but it's who does the study and what are their, you know, their conflicts of interest that is questionable.
A couple of things. I want to ask you this one question. I've been suffering with UC, so ulcerative,
yeah,
colitis. Sorry, for 14 years. I am uncertain if it is gut dysbiosis of the gut from antibiotics from 2006, when I instantly lost 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Or if it's caused by living in fight or flight for most of the day, negative thinking, subconscious fears, or trauma. Okay, there's probably another reason, because those two things are not the major underlying causes of that. So I just want to address that. You need to go to your doctor.
Yeah.
You need to go find a great GI doctor. This person has been using Just Thrive for 2.5 years. IgG causes very loose stools. I seem to have plateaued with Just Thrive. Now I'm trying cabbage juice and celery juice. Thank you for any advice. I've lost almost 60 pounds over 14 years. So sorry. To a gastroenterologist, a functional gastroenterologist, maybe reach out to Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis. He's in Portland, Oregon, at Hive Mind practice there. So I just wanted to address that, because that's a very serious set of circumstances you're dealing with, Kieran.
It is, yeah. So the outcomes that you mentioned, the ulcerative colitis, the anxiety, depression, the flight or fight response, those are all, like Siobhan said, those are the actual side effects of the underlying dysfunction that's going on in the lining of your gut, right? It's absolutely expected that if you have inflammatory bowel, or even if you have IBS, that you're gonna have anxiety and depression. So 51-52% of IBS patients have reported anxiety. Compare that to somewhere around 19% of just the non-IBS population. Right? So you're 2.5 times almost likely to have anxiety if you have a GI dysfunction. They all go hand in hand. So like Siobhan said, there's some big things you need to look into in the gut. If you're losing that much weight over that amount of time and you're not trying to lose that weight, you're clearly not absorbing nutrients well, you're not assimilating them properly, you're not harvesting calories properly, and there could be a lot of other things going on that you really should see your doctor about. Another great integrative gastroenterologist to think about is Dr. Robin Rose. She's in the Northeast, so I don't know where you are, but she does telemedicine as well. She's an integrative gastroenterologist. One thing that may really benefit you as you're looking at what is going on in your system is doing a good comprehensive functional stool test, right? And do that with, you know, one of the doctors. And that'll give you a real clue as to what is the real imbalance and dysbiosis going on in your system, that your lining is being eaten away, your mucosa is being eaten away, and you're being presented with these issues.
So how does it, does the product help with hormonal acne? It seems like it would.
So again, hormone is just a trigger, right? Hormone imbalances, and the pathology of how a lesion forms is still the same. So no matter what the trigger is, some people can eat, ice cream and get acne, right? Some people get stressed and they get acne. All of those things are triggers, but they trigger the same pathways and same pathology. So what we're doing is going after the underlying pathway. It doesn't matter what the trigger is.
Sherman, how to effectively set up an account on Microbiome Labs. I hope I answered that earlier. Hopefully it worked. You can reach out to them directly, but you want to do that ASAP, because they're going on vacation for Zen starting July. What is the day you start, you guys? July 4th, which is the Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, hi, Stephanie. Good to see you. Do you know what? I'm not going to say this. Lichen sclerosis is. Do you know what that is?
Sclerosis, yes, but not sure what the lichen component
is. I've talked to you about that in one of our sessions, or one of our experts has, Stephanie. But bottom line, this is worth a try. Uncommon condition creates patchy white skin that appears thinner than normal. So they did, you joined late. He did talk about how the thickness of the skin is has been addressed mm-hmm. with the studies that they did, and that it was a positive outcome. Okay, we're running out of time, so I have to pop around here. Brenda, reach out to their customer service so they can hook you up. And then, oh, what is the metal? How do you say it? Is it metallic?
Oh, mega metallic.
Mega metallic.
Yes, that's a super, super exciting probiotic. So we know that a huge percentage of the population is getting exposed to heavy metals all the time through drinking water, through food. You know, there's a big congressional report on all of the super high-end kids' foods and baby foods that were laced with lots of heavy metals, lead, arsenic, cadmium, and all that. So basically, Mega Metallic is a probiotic strain that binds heavy metals and takes it out of your GI tract. So if you suspect that you're getting heavy metal exposure, a lot of times people with candida, for example, or brain fog or inflammation or heavy dandruff and lots of that kind of symptomology may be exposed to heavy metals on a regular basis, or kids, which is the scariest part, because heavy metals can have real impact on IQ and brain development and so on, if they live in an area where it's known that lead pipes are used and there's other heavy metal exposures. Mega Metallic is a probiotic you take with your food, and it binds the heavy metals that are in the food or drink and takes it out, so that you gain less exposure to the heavy metals. You're absorbing less of it.
Somebody's asking, can we do a microbiome composition test to see before and afters after using the products for a few months?
Great idea.
Do the biome, what is it, Biome X? That's not what
Biome it's Effects.
Effects, yeah. It's on the website. Can you do multiple of these formulations at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's probably redundant to take the Megaspore and the Serene Skin at the same time. And because of the cost issue. So if it's the two probiotics, you just pick one and do that for a period of time. But you can absolutely do the Serene Skin with the Mega Microbalance and the IgG if you're dealing with all of those different components, and those are going to be beneficial to you. There's not an issue. There aren't any two products in our line that you cannot combine.
Okay. I'm not going to close it yet, because I want to do one thing. I'm going to end this recording though, and I'm going to start another recording. No one's going to be leaving the Zoom room. I'm just pushing a button for the recording. Hang on, for editing purposes. Thanks, Karen.